guess what day it is.
Back, live, full effect, the On Deck TV podcast. Hip hop, yeah, got what you're looking for.
This ain't no regular day though, nigga. It's the birthday. It's a celebration.
Man, turn two was the month, wasn't it? Terrible two. It's gonna be a terrible year for the podcast competitors out there.
Man, listen, man. It's On Deck TV podcast. We appreciate y'all checking in. I'm your host, Animal Brown.
I am Spike Lou on Instagram and Twitter. Also in real life,
follow your boy Animal_Brown Instagram and Twitter. I don't really do Facebook like that. Facebook? I don't really do Facebook like that.
Nah.
Nope. I'm cool on Facebook.
Nah.
Of course, OnDeckTVNetwork.com is the website.
Yep, go check that out, man. You're going to get the latest shows from all the shows on the network. Speaking of all the shows on the network, FSP, that's Full Sports Press, with my man Jay Hove, my man Coach Locke, my man How Weezy on the boards over there. They doing their thing. You missed the episode Monday. Go back and check that out. It is on iTunes for you.
Yes.
Also on OnDeckTVNetwork.com.
For sure, man. And also, of course, every second and fourth Thursday, the Ladies Room. They are out of New York. Y'all check out their latest episode, which will be up this week. Big boy episode on our 2-year joint, though. We had a very special guest.
Yes, man.
Wendy Day came through. It's the return of Wendy Day. Very excited about that.
She's a goat.
Man, a goat. What you said?
Oh, yeah, man. That was much love. Shout out to Wendy, her second time on the show. We thought we would bring her back, you know, for the second year anniversary. It worked out great. Great interview. Y'all really going to enjoy it.
Most definitely.
For y'all that are interested in music like we are, she dropped some gems for y'all. For y'all that are in the business, she dropped some gems for y'all to get y'all career and shit started. So make sure you check that out and you share that with your friends, man. Word of mouth will keep us going over here, man. So go to iTunes, like, subscribe, rate. Tell your friend, you know, a dope podcast that they ought to be listening to while they bullshitting at work.
Yeah, and as we normally do, though, before we get to that.
What's up?
Oh, no, wait. What did you get into over the weekend?
It was Mother's Day. Shout out Mom Dukes, man. She came down here. We did Stone Mountain on Saturday.
For sure.
Got the workout in with moms. That was real cool.
I can dig that.
It was raining. A lot of people were falling down Stone Mountain, man. Word to the wise, dog. Don't go to Stone Mountain when it's wet.
Where is the video footage of this?
Listen to me. You know, the white dudes, they be real serious.
Of course.
They be working out, they be real serious.
Of course,
though.
Too serious.
Yeah, like 50-year-old white dude. He had the backpack on, he had the hiking boots and shit, nigga. He was in mode.
Right.
He hiking, he coming down the mountain. I looked up. All I heard was, and he fell so hard. It was 20 people right there. 19 of them were black. He was the only white person.
And they all
he turned beet red. He said, oh, well, I guess I can't go any further. Dude, it was so goddamn funny. My mama 52. She laughed. She crying. That was my weekend. I definitely enjoyed that. Shout out to Mom Dukes. It was a happy Mother's Day.
Most definitely, man. Happy Mother's Day, man. Got to rap with my mom. I didn't get to go home. But definitely got to rap well on the phone for a long ass time. We was talking about baby names and shit. I was like, whoa, 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 now.
Way. Congratulations, my nigga.
Whoa, slow down, moms.
I see you in these streets.
Not yet. All right, but now let's get to this money. What hopped out at you this week, man?
Speaking of money and getting to it, let's speak about who losing it.
Let's
Your boys, the terrible trio.
Migos.
Young Rich Niggas.
Migos.
Offset.
Yeah, that's Offset. The one without dreads for those
Offset,
who don't know.
Hey, whatever. Offset apparently had a great week. They were locked up for something.
Remember they got the
they got locked up at the concert.
Yeah, at the show.
So following that, Offset was in jail and got to fight with some niggas in jail. Got two more charges. One was inciting a riot.
Damn.
Offset goes in front of the judge who surprisingly denied his bond. I'm shocked.
Right.
The Offset's bond got denied. I can't believe this. Offset was surprised too. So he commences to cursing the judge out.
Fuck the judge, the DA.
So
who else?
As we know, as of right now, Offset is still sitting in jail.
Damn.
The Migos had to cancel the Young Rich Nigga tour.
Yeah.
Young Rich Nigga clothing line is supposed to come out June 6th. That may have to hold up as well because they were supposed to do events for that.
Their album comes out June 16th well.
It's Offset fucking up the money. Offset fucking up the church money, man.
He is, but he can't be getting his ass whooped in jail.
What do you mean?
Like, if they testing them, if they testing them out here in these streets, which is what they've been doing.
Amigos.
You can only imagine what they're doing behind the walls.
Who are they lawyers? You got to get me in, I got to be excluded from general population, man. Get me out of there. I ain't finna be in here congregating with these hating ass niggas if I'm Offset. That's one. Two, if I'm Migos manager.
Right.
I'm seriously considering bringing in another member.
Nah.
What?
No.
Why not?
They got the formula down to a science with these three.
Listen, man, listen. This is what the Migos need. 50 did it with G-Unit. Like, what you do, you run a little. I shuck it all the way out. I had a reality show all while Offset locked up. Who will be the next member of Migos?
No.
Yes.
No.
That's what they need to do. They'll shuck anyway. Go on and shuck it all the way out. Had a reality show. Have niggas come trial for Migos and all that good shit, man. Go on and milk your shit.
Dude finna be
out, that's gonna
out,
make up
man.
For the Offset money. Man, Offset.
This is, hey, look, him.
He gonna get out and go right back.
Him talking,
they need
shit.
Four members so they can rotate.
Him talking shit to the judge just adds to his credibility.
No.
He got his Pac shit on.
Whoa.
You feel me?
His
fuck
Pac
you, judge.
Shit? What are you talking about?
You know what I mean?
What are you talking about his Pac shit?
That's he was on his Pac shit.
Pac ain't never done that.
Middle finger to the judge, man.
Shut
the
up,
prosecutor
dude.
And
listen,
the DA.
Man, listen, Offset. If you're listening to this, Offset, calm down. Relax. You fucking up the money. Yes, we bringing in a fourth member of Migos, because I don't know if you're going to be able to get out of jail. We got to keep this moving. Really, though, I ain't stopping the tour or nothing.
Nah, you
got
to stop the
tour. Man, you got to let the DJ play Offset versus, dog.
Nah.
I'll put his money up, put it on his books or something.
The Offset brother
man,
to come out and
stop,
do his part.
Man, listen to me. He not finna stop this money. I feel like he fucking up the money.
Yeah, because I want to go to the Migos show. I want to see all three of them. So, I just don't want to see two. I feel cheap.
Pause. I want to see all three of the Migos.
I go to a Migos. They don't be as live as I thought they would be. They be kind of low-key turned down on their shows.
I don't get that. Like, listen. It ain't nothing on earth for me in a Migos show. Nothing. I can't get nothing out of that, bro.
You can.
No.
You have a good time.
No.
Man.
I can have a good time.
Look,
sitting on my couch.
You think running up Stone Mountain
yes,
is a.
I thoroughly enjoy that more
think,
than this. Yes. You ain't got to finish.
Time out. You think that's a good workout?
Yes.
Imagine running from bullets and gunshots at the Migos show.
I ain't
nigga,
about
you got
that
to
life.
Hurdle people.
I ain't about that workout.
Listen, man,
I did that. 15 years ago. 15 years ago. I've done that. That workout ain't nothing.
Hey, shout out to the homie Twan Sounds. I never forget, we was at the Palladium and they got to shooting at the gas station across the street. And we were running and Twan tripped and I hurdled that nigga in stride and he fell, got right back up after I jumped over him all in the same motion.
Wait,
dude, we were running for our lives.
So
shit was fun as hell.
So there's more than one Twan Sounds Palladium story, right? Because
He
definitely turned into the Hulk at the gas station.
It was a BP.
At the gas station. I definitely remember. He almost ripped the door off the goddamn hinges, dude. I think he slick turned green and everything.
Right,
shout
man.
Out Twan Sounds. That's my nigga.
Migos.
Get them out of here.
Now,
what you got next?
I seen Drake and Murder Mook, man. They keep talking about this battle that's supposedly going to happen.
At least
Drake wants
out.
To happen. My question is, with battle rap being somewhat back, do you care about a Drake and Murder Mook battle at all?
I don't understand Drake's obsession with trying to get murdered in one of these goddamn battle raps. What is his problem? Like,
I don't
what
know.
Is he trying to prove, though?
This is the epitome of a lose-lose.
Yeah. You don't get street cred for this. This ain't got nothing to do with anything, especially if you're a successful rapper like Drake. So why would I go? Like, he keep inviting this shit.
Yeah.
Like, did Murder Mook ain't the first nigga that he said this about, right?
Nah,
who
I thought
it was.
I thought him and Mook have been trying. They've been trying to do this for like a year and some change.
Is that the nigga that was up there with Dame Dash?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, him.
Even still, though, like, if I'm Drake, I ain't gonna keep like inviting this and floating this out there because it's his people saying this. This ain't Murder Mook people. Man, like, I don't understand where Drake got the win from this, man. If I'm gonna do anything, I'm gonna come out and say, man, I never battle rap any of these niggas because I make $1 million off my singles.
Yeah.
These niggas are in basements spitting in each other's faces, dude. I don't give a fuck about their culture or nothing if I'm Drake.
Nah, Drake can fuck with the culture. He could be a
Why?
Judge one time.
No.
He can come through and do something like
y'all
that.
Niggas can't pay me to come and sit in this shit, man. Y'all breathing all over each other. And, man, fuck that.
Hey, if he, first of all, Murder Mook on that Breakfast Club interview said that it's been Drake's people that have been stopping it from happening, and Drake really wants it to happen for some reason.
Drake people know
I
better.
I don't get it.
They know better. Like Drake.
Drake should know better, dude. Yeah, what is wrong with him? Come on, Six God.
What is he have something? I don't know what it is, though.
I will tell you this, though. Lyrics are back in the rap game.
They are.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because Migos? Veterans such as Jada.
Whoa. Let's not do that.
Vets.
They didn't bring lyrics back, though.
No, okay. They're not, but
they go ahead.
I'm not saying that they're responsible for bringing it back, but since there is a stronger emphasis on lyrics nowadays, it's opened the door back open for cats like Jada, Fab, Lloyd Banks. Mm-hmm. They've been putting out freestyle series.
You trying to slide that Lloyd Banks in that?
Lloyd Banks is a lyricist, and he's a vet.
He got songs?
He's got freestyles.
Today? Like right now, he's released new shit?
Not freestyles, dude.
Oh, okay, news. That's a news flash.
Because I've heard the Fab
freestyles. I've heard the Jada freestyles.
Right,
and they going in, and I think that it's time for them to drop albums, just because lyrics is like at the forefront of hip hop right now.
Right,
so they need to go and drop their albums. But you tried to slide.
Lloyd Banks can spit. Dude. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, Lloyd Banks ain't never dropped another album. That's it.
Jada Kiss don't need to drop an album right now.
Yes,
bro.
He do.
No.
Like, he got to, actually.
Like, he's going.
Like, niggas is. Like, actually, Fab opened the door for him to drop an album right now. Like, I need a Jada Kiss mixtape and I need a Fab album right now.
No, we just had a Fab album, dude. What? He just dropped in December.
Man, fuck that young OG trash, dude. Like, I need another good. Like, if you're going to give me these. If you're going to tease me with these 90s flows every week over these 90s beats, then go on and drop the little 90s mixtape. Go on, like, give me that. Like, bro, like, goddamn.
Fab has been killing shit.
He have. He ain't killed his last one, though. I ain't like.
What?
The Black Girl Lost?
Maybe.
That was okay.
Bro, it wasn't. That might have been the best one, bro.
No.
I swear, he was
killing. The one I heard the week before, that was frying there. Jada Kiss been going hard, too, though.
I don't like Jada's, bro.
Ain't that two curse words?
I ain't like it, man. Listen, like, Jada ain't doing nothing for me. And that's my guy.
Listen to me. At two curse words?
Man, Jada Kiss. I ain't heard that, but I heard him on the Jigga and all that. That shit was some slaw.
Look that up. Look that two curse words up. And he ripped that Jigga.
Nah, he didn't.
He did. I'm hot.
Amber Rose is back throwing darts at Kanye.
That pissed me off this week.
What happened? Why is that?
That right there. Like, what's Amber Rose's problem with Kanye West?
I mean, Kanye did shit on her when he was on Breakfast Club. Though.
He's married. He got a wife.
He said he had to take like 100 showers to get that up off him.
Ah, okay, I didn't know that.
30 showers, I believe, was the specific number.
To get that up off him.
To get that Amber. And then he said without the relationship, there is no Amber Rose. Y'all don't even know who she is right now.
Oh, man. Okay. Which is, I'm not mad then. She should have came out and said this. He's well deserved for saying. Amber Rose came out. She called out Kanye. She said they were playing Kanye shit in the club that she was paid to host at.
Yeah.
And she got on the mic and said, "Won't we get the nigga in here that wrote the song for real?" Shout out to Travis Scott. If you Kanye, how hot are you about this? Or is she just petty?
On a scale of 1 to 10, if I'm Kanye I'm at a 10. 0.
Kanye on 10. It's Kanye West.
No, dude.
It don't take much to get him on 10, dude.
Look. This is not breaking news by any stretch of the imagination. Everybody that pays attention to rap already knew this.
No.
That's number one.
No.
If you listen to Kanye's My Dark Twisted Fantasy album and a Yeezus album, go and listen to a Travis Scott project, which you may or may not have done before. You will notice that, damn, this shit sounds eerily a lot like Kanye's shit. And then you find out they're together and they're like on the same wavelength and like they fucking with each other on tracks and shit. You're like, whoa. It's obvious that nigga's writing his shit, or at least a little bit of it.
AskOnDeck@gmail.com if you knew that, because I didn't, and I don't believe that you knew.
I definitely knew that shit. This is old news.
Amber Rose broke news right here.
Amber Rose ain't never broke shit.
I don't believe it.
What is her purpose? In
to be thick
life,
to be thick, to be that's a thick it? Ass bald head white girl. Yes, that's all she has.
She can't be white.
Do.
She be saying nigga in the club.
She ain't white.
She mixed
with what?
I don't know. We went over this before. I cannot remember.
I don't believe Amber Rose mixed.
Tough.
That's impossible.
But like,
she didn't say nigga. I put that in though.
Like, there's no point in doing that shit.
Yeah, if you Amber Rose, it is though. If a nigga come out and say, "Oh, I had to take 30 showers,"
yeah, that was a minute ago. That was petty like 2 months ass ago.
No, if I'm Kanye, I ain't never got to say her name again. Because if it is true that I put her on, then like, all right, you got that, but you ain't never getting another oop from me ever again, bitch. I ain't never got to say your name.
Yeezy taught me. That's what
exactly.
She
had that nigga making songs and paying Chris Rock $1 million for the feature.
Hey, man, real quick. We mentioned, obviously, Mother's Day weekend just passed.
Right.
Shout out to Stylito. He dropped a new song on Mother's Day dedicated to his grandmother. It's called TLC. You know we got to play it. We're going to play that. We're going to come back. We got this Windy Day interview for you. Please listen up, y'all.
Y'all pay attention.
Man. Yeah, damn, pay attention.
I remember you told me to rap about love, because that's the only thing that lasts forever. What you give a person that wants for nothing, just know you can ask for whatever, my last or whatever. And I know it make you happy just to see me doing better. But I wrote this song instead of roses when you're gone. I love you, I had to tell you. And I still can't quite get past my past. Living too fast. Many nights, long talks, frustrated and sad. Blame my dad. I give everything out of chains and the cash, just to change up the crash, just to lighten your load. Just like for you to know that I love your soul, grandmama. Even though I haven't seen you lately, want you to know that I appreciate you. Wish we were better at communicating. Either way, you still my motivation. I remember when you told me it's okay to cry. Lost LaFerrari, then I lost my mind. Popped out them pills, thought I wanted to die. My darkest times will taught me to shine. Just talked to my dog, he partially blind, but his spirit's hiding, his heart is divine. I told him he motivated me. See, we grow up and grow ungrateful, and I know I be so impatient. Good things come to those who wait. I ain't believe it, so I ain't wait. And I almost ain't make it. Kinda crazy, I wouldn't blame her if your mama hates me. Yeah, chasing these commas, I'm a promise break. Damn, we can solve our drama, simple conversation. Now our problems complicated, I'm sorry. I promise, I'm the personification of guilt, regret. Gotta learn not to expect, slowly learning how to accept. Still hoping for the best, it ain't over yet. Even though I haven't seen you lately, want you to know that I appreciate you.
Back on the TV podcast, I am your host Animal Brown.
Chip, I am Spike Lou. I am Spike on Instagram and Twitter too.
Don't forget, follow me Animal_Brown. Hey man, it's the 2-year episode. We told you we had a guest.
Chip,
you may or may not have believed us, but we've got one.
Bringing it back, man.
One of our favorite episodes, not only from our perspective, but also from our fans' perspective. Wendy Day from the Rap Coalition is here. How are you, Miss Wendy?
I've been great. I can't believe you're at 2 years already. Like, how fast did that go, right?
Quick, like it was yesterday.
Man, and I got to give you guys crazy, crazy, crazy debt, because so many people start stuff in hip hop and then don't follow through, like they don't finish it. And here we are at a 2-year anniversary and you're still going strong. I know you don't do this for love.
Yeah,
I know you don't do this for the money, because there's no money in it. Yeah. So I got to really hand it to you guys. Like,
thank you.
Good
thank
for
you.
Y'all.
We
like,
appreciate it.
Most definitely.
It's so awesome.
We do it to sit down with people like you to get knowledge, like
Yay.
Knowledge on top of knowledge. So we're going to get you to drop some gems in here today.
Okay.
So
that's easy.
I know. Exactly. So I know last time you were here, I want to get you in the picture first. Last time we were here, you talked about your second book.
Yes.
Following up your first one.
My first
one.
Book.
Yeah.
Because I'm writing
your first
the second
one.
One
exactly.
Now.
So
yeah.
Tell them about the first
and it's
one. How
my
it's
ass.
Doing. Exactly. I remember you saying that. Tell them about that first one and how it's doing.
The first one did really well. You know, I wrote about how to get a record deal. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, I don't believe artists should get record deals. So it was a really hard book for me to write, because I had to be unbiased. Like, I had to step out of my knowledge for a minute and explain to people the difference between being signed to a label or independent, like a major label or independent.
Right.
And that was really hard, because I don't necessarily want to see artists signed to labels and signed to 360 deals and get fucked.
So,
you know,
so you think it's good for everybody? All artists, you
to
think
be
it's
independent?
Best for?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I think there's some folks that can't do it themselves. Like,
got
they
you.
Just don't have
the drive.
That entrepreneurial spirit. They don't have that business sense, and they just, you know, they shouldn't do it.
They could just rap.
Right. Which is fine.
Right.
Which is fine. You know, the world exists of labels for folks like that, but you know, that's not the majority of artists. You know, most artists today are a little bit more well-rounded and have a little bit more business acumen, you know, so they can do it themselves. And what I really would never want to see is like an artist like a Tech N9ne who last year made $30 million with his partner, right? With Strange Music. I would never want to see him like signed to a Def Jam or signed to a Sony, you know, especially because I don't think they'd understand him or his music.
So, he turned down $60 million on Breakfast Club. I saw that.
Wow. That's good for him.
Laughed at it.
Good for him.
which is amazing even right now.
Good so, for him. As an independent artist and how that money structure set up, how he turned down $60 million, how he laughed at $60 million. I know you know what
he
you
makes,
know.
Yeah, he makes more money than that.
Right.
Like the way Strange Music works, he splits everything with Travis, his partner.
Right.
And they make a third of their money doing shows and touring, a third of their money with merchandise. Their merchandise game is
crazy.
Ridiculous. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. And a third of their money on music sales. But the great thing about Tech N9ne and Strange Music is that he has complete control and complete ownership. So there's no label saying, oh, we want you to be a little bit more commercial or a little bit less gothic or a little more whatever.
Taking
you
some
know?
Of that creativity
like,
away.
He woke up a couple of years ago and said, gee, I want to do more stuff with urban artists. So he reached out to Lil Wayne. He reached out to 2 Chainz. At a major label, he may or may not have had the opportunity to do that. They may have said to him, and I don't know because he's not signed to a major, but I'm thinking they may have said, wait a minute, you know, you're a multi-million
dollar artist. Let's put him in his box. Yeah, let's put him in his box. And
like,
not...
why do you want to come out of that box and go over here where there's less money?
Yep.
And he's doing it for the love. Like, he just, you know, he wants to show love to the urban community. And I don't know that a major would have backed him on that.
No,
I agree.
And plus, he's so different, man. He's got the face paint. Like, I think they might have even been scared of him at one point.
Absolutely.
But still, he not, did it not at one point. Yeah. Still,
right?
They scared
him. Now, I know you said you worked the second book.
Damn, he can rap.
Yeah, no, he can spit.
I just had to say, like, God damn, he can rap.
Tech N9ne music goes over my head sometimes.
I ain't gonna lie.
But
he
definitely has skill, and I can see why people are interested.
Yeah.
Definitely. Now, you said the second book is killing you right now.
It is. I'm writing about how to make money with music.
Oh,
like,
God.
How to put out your own music and make money, right?
Right.
Because this is what we all want to do. We want to be able, as artists, to feed our families doing what we love. And every time I think, like, I'm moving ahead and I'm nailing it, then there's another pathway that somebody could take, and then I have to cover that.
Yeah.
And then I see another pathway, like somebody else over here doing it. And there's, with the internet today, there's just so many different ways to make money, which is great,
right,
for the artist. But in terms of somebody trying to cover it and break it down and explain it, it's like, I think that I'm almost to the end of the book, and then I have like 3 more chapters to write, and then I think I'm almost to the end of that, and then there's 3, the book's gonna be like this. It's gonna be crazy.
If it's how to make money off music, you know, a lot of people reading that though.
Right.
Yes, so look though,
for real,
with you saying that, I see a person like Nipsey Hussle, right?
And
I love him.
I see his independent grind. Is it really like what he says it is? Is he that successful being that independent,
yes,
or is he is?
Okay, but in
okay.
Fairness,
so tell
not everybody is.
Right,
not
right.
Use
so
him as
so tell me how he does it, and then tell me how he does it. Then you have somebody like Tiger who says, "Oh, I haven't got a check ever from Cash Money."
Right.
Like, what's the difference? Like, how does it work?
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
When you're signed to a major label as an artist. And some labels are better at paying than others.
Right.
But when you're signed to a major label, you're kind of the last one to get paid. Like, the money flows into the label, and then the label turns around and sends your accountant the check. And then out of that check comes, you know, 15 or 20% to your your manager, whatever cut they take.
Right.
And then your attorney's probably getting 5 to 10% of the money, you know, and then there's, you got to pay your security, you got to pay, you know, whatever. So you're the last one to get paid.
Oh, man.
But remember where I said the check comes from the label into, like, to the accountant?
Yeah.
Well, you have to recoup all that money first.
Mm.
So all of the money that they're spending comes out of the artist's share. So let's say the artist is making 18% on their deal, right?
Is that pretty good?
That's great.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
That's great, right? 18% is a really, like, a nice deal, right? But let's say the artist is making 18%. So the label is spending all the money, and the money doesn't come off the top. The money comes out of that artist's 18%. So they're paying everything back out of their share.
So that's
how
he don't get a check. And I don't mean to laugh, but it's just, it's ironic.
The money. Yeah.
But then somebody like Nipsey Hussle who say, if the he wants a video dead. Done, exactly. If yeah. I want a video done or whoever, I've already paid them.
Exactly.
So I can already recoup this money once it comes back on the back end.
And it's coming off the top because it's coming out of his money.
Right.
So it's not like he's paying it out of his little 18% share, you know?
So, we had the Billboard. Billboard just released their top moneymakers for music last year. Mm-hmm. And they broke it down into four categories. They had it streaming, record sales, touring, and publishing.
Publishing. And,
now, in almost everybody's case, touring was the most. They made the most from that.
Absolutely.
And then they made the least from publishing, like considerably least.
Yeah.
Like, what is that in what is publishing in reference to?
Publishing is the ownership of the words and the music. So as soon as you put your pen to paper to write a lyric, you own that, right?
Okay.
And it's what gets your children fed,
right?
Because the money keeps flowing.
That's
in.
A consistent check,
it's
right?
Long
it's
money,
a consistent
exactly.
check. Yeah, that's what.
But where a lot of artists fail to see the value is when they first sign a record deal. If they haven't already given up a chunk of their publishing to their label, they have the opportunity to go and do a publishing deal. And a lot of artists don't realize that this is that long-term money, so they'll go and do a deal for, you know, 200,000 up front or 150,000 up front or even $1 million up front.
And they just sold a majority
of it. And they're selling half of their publishing.
Right.
So every check that comes in is cut in half and they're only getting half. And then on top of that, there's usually an administration fee that comes out of their share because they may not have been savvy enough to know that you don't want it to come out of your half. You know, so they may be losing 60% of the money instead of 50%.
I think Drake had the lowest. Taylor Swift by far had the highest publishing.
Nice.
And then Drake had like, it was that big in comparison to everything
else. Do you
else.
Think, is that because genre or is that because her people are that much better than Drake's people?
I think they're both pop stars. So I think
they're probably making
similar money. True. You know, now she's female and white, so she might be making more. I don't know. I don't work for either of their companies.
Right.
But my guess is that Drake has more people in between him
and
the deal.
Check.
I know that he signed to
Young
Wayne.
Money.
I know that
Cash
there's another
money.
Company in between, and I only know this because he filed suit recently. Yeah. Right.
The whole Jay Prince.
Jay Prince's son filed suit recently, so I was able to go in and read all the court documents. Yes. But it appears what happened was they set up a separate company. And that company is what did the deal with Young Money. So there's like two steps of people in between Drake's money.
Sound like a lot of hands.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Now I got a question. Exactly. And we'll get back to what you said. But I got a question, Tola, because I know you had something with Cash Money.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody seems to come out and say, oh, Baby's not paying us.
Right.
How
I've
is
heard
the
that.
Right. You may
I've
have
heard
that before.
So how is the culture around like Baby and his camp? When people are in the public saying, hey, I didn't get paid, like how are the people reacting around him? Do they get their money or do they just not care?
I don't know the answer.
How's he existed for this long?
Okay, I don't know the answer to that. Like, how's he still alive?
Right. That's what I don't understand. That's what I do not understand.
I can't answer that. I haven't worked with Cash Money since 1998.
Gotcha.
I had a similar situation. I had to file suit to get paid. They did pay me.
Right.
You know, I had to sue them, though, to get
but,
paid.
Yeah, that's what everybody got to do.
Like,
just sue them.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, at first, I took it really personally because I'd done so much work for them. I'm like, what the fuck?
Right.
And then as
but then you see they did everybody like
as time
it's how we do business,
it's
hey.
Like get in line.
Exactly.
So I realized, you know what, it's a personality disorder or something.
Yeah,
you know,
clearly.
And that's no diss to him,
right? It is what it is
and he's not the only one, and
of course
believe
not
me, I'm
nah,
not
we
you know,
know
I'm
that.
Not
know
defending
that.
Him in any
right.
means, because if somebody does something for you, they should get paid for what they do.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You know? But by far in this industry, he's not the only one who doesn't pay
right.
artists.
How much of that responsibility lies on the artist, though? And to make sure that your team is A1 and they're reading everything and making sure you're getting what you're getting, you're supposed to be getting. Does it fall on the CEO that's maybe raping them, or
like
should they be more knowledgeable?
Well, they should be more knowledgeable. And I don't want to sit here and blame the victim.
Right.
Especially because I own Rap Coalition, which is an artist rights
right.
organization. You know, so I certainly don't want to blame the victim.
Right.
But if artists were more knowledgeable, I think it would happen less, only because they would avoid the bad situations. Cool. Like, who is the artist that, you know, 20 years down the road into Cash Money's existence says, gee, I want to be signed to Cash Money.
Right.
You know, like, who is that? Was that person?
The last one left, like,
he signed back.
Like, it's
he got his money, though.
It's not going to happen to you? Like, right. Like, dude, what are you thinking? So,
there's smoke, there's fire, so like, just stay away.
I think sometimes people, and, you know, artists are people, too, I think sometimes people look at the fame and not the money, and they think, okay, I'll get famous and then I'll worry about the money later. Over here.
Yeah.
But what happens is, as soon as you have the fame, then you start to look for the money. And when you see somebody else making money, and it's not whether they're really making money, it's the perception. You
right.
know, like,
right.
I might be signed to you, and he might be signed to you.
Yep.
So you're making money off of both of us, and you just bought a new Bentley,
yep.
and I'm taking the bus, I'm looking at you funny.
Right, right.
You know, like, yeah. like, wait a minute. Wait,
hold up.
I'm famous, but I'm still taking the bus, and you're driving a Bentley. Oh, hell.
Right, right. It's an issue.
And then, yeah, and then it becomes a bigger issue than it may be,
because
you might be able to crack open the books and say, Wendy, look, you're not making me any money. Right. That's why you're taking the bus.
Right.
You know, I'm making all the money off of his yeah. career.
Right.
You know, but I'm looking at you crazy, because it's like, I'm in your pockets. I'm like right. looking at you like, well, wait a minute, you got a Bentley and I don't. Yep.
Still,
I'm the artist.
Yeah. I'm still taking
and now
so
I
much.
Have attitude. Yeah. You know, so it goes both ways.
And now I want to work. Yeah. You know, yeah. And it's a whole spiral effect.
Yeah. Now I'm depressed.
Right. So with that being said, I seen you got out of artist management, right? You got out of it.
I flee.
Is that the reason? Is that the reason why? Screaming. Just too much red tape, just too much politics and stuff like that?
It's you know, I had issue, and I love the artists that I work with, and I'm very mm-hmm. fortunate because I got to work with some really great people.
Right.
But I had loyalty issues with my artists. I found that some of the artists, not all of them,
right.
but some of the artists that I work with didn't really understand how the music business worked, and they didn't feel that my model was the best model for them because it involved making money instead of just
being
pure fame.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
they don't get that.
It
ain't too many people that's willing
like,
to do
yeah,
that nowadays.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I got really tired of explaining to them like how it worked. And then they would go and do stupid shit. And again, it wasn't all of them. It was really just one or two.
Right.
Would go and do stupid shit. And then I'd spend all my time
cleaning
fixing
that
mistakes.
Up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when I'm fixing mistakes, we're not
making
money.
I can't do no work.
You know,
and we can't
exactly.
make no money.
Yep. And I have to admit to you that I was a little bit on the stupid side where I was making a living, right?
Right.
So I wasn't tripping off of taking a percentage of their little show money, or if they put out a mixtape and, you know, got to do a verse over here for $1,000. I wasn't taking
right.
my 15 or 20% because right. I was already making money. And I think sometimes artists see kindness and they mistake it
weakness.
As weakness.
Yep.
Yeah. And it got to be when the bigger money came, it was like, yo, why do we got to pay the bitch? It's like, whoa. Like, dude, I set you up and your entire
this is where the big money came from.
Yeah,
yeah,
career to get to this point. So I just, man, I ran
yeah,
from managing.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like dealing with babies' mamas and,
oh,
and,
oh, no.
and mamas, and managers,
just
mamagers,
craziness,
stuff
you know,
like it.
I dealt with an artist who, you know, there was a famous artist who wanted my artist to be in his videos because it was his favorite rapper.
Mm.
And my artist would, you know, go to that city and then not come out of the hotel room. And then I'm getting calls from the more powerful, more famous guy saying,
where's
you know, her? Wendy, I flew your guy out here and
we paid for a hotel
room.
And
he said he was going to do this and now he won't come out of it. Like, what the fuck?
Right.
And, you know, not to disrespect that the artist I was working with, he just had some issues that, you know, where maybe it was depression, maybe it was
right,
whatever.
Right.
But we couldn't resolve that problem. And then it would come down to me and they'd be looking at me like, you know, like, what the fuck?
Right.
You run into a lot of people,
like, man,
I
not want to do this.
They don't realize this is a job, right? Like stuff like he didn't realize this is a job.
Yeah.
Like, you got to do this.
Yeah.
Shit. Like,
and not only a job, like it was, you know, this. He was an icon to this artist.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're his favorite rapper.
Uh-huh.
And you're fucking it up. Like, right. like, what are you doing?
Right.
You're letting him see a side of you that he
nobody's
doesn't need
supposed
to see.
Exactly.
Nobody needs to see
yeah,
it, you
exactly.
know?
No, I feel like your name holds, like, a lot of weight and is very respected in terms of, like, what you've
Thanks.
Done for artists.
Thanks.
Has there ever been an opportunity where you almost compromised your integrity
for a bigger check.
Yet. But you know what's funny is I was always worried that I right. would, yeah. you know, and it's just natural as a human being. Like, damn, if I was broke and starving, you know, would I take a shitty deal?
Right.
And the cool thing was I got to test myself all through my career. You know, there was a time when Death Row wanted to give me money for Rap Coalition. They wanted to give me $30,000 when they first started. And I turned it down, and I was like,
"I know you're glad about that,
dude." But it was $30,000 at a time where I had like $4 in the bank.
Right,
and I was eating like ramen noodles. Yeah. So like, $30,000 was looking like $1,000,000.
Yeah, right. That $30,000 looked nice.
And I turned it down. Yeah, I mean, there's many times there was an artist who I was getting evicted, and there was an artist who we had a deal on the table. It wasn't Universal. I can't remember. Maybe Sony or Elektra, but it wasn't a great deal.
Right.
And he really wanted to sign. I'm like, dude, you shouldn't. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking,
I need this
that
brick.
Voice yeah. saying, wow, if you just negotiate this deal for him and take your little 5 or 10% that you normally get, you can stop the whole eviction proceeding. And
you didn't.
I didn't stop it.
That takes a lot of faith, I guess. What is that?
It takes insanity, right. you know? No, there's just, you know, I knew that if I had done that I would have to live with that for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I can live with being evicted. I can't live with being a scumbag.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of people can. That's why.
That's why they're winning.
A lot of people can.
A lot of successful
industry,
people.
You have a lot of people nope. like that. Like right. just evil shark type
exactly.
predators.
So, like
with
that being said, you have a lot of experience in this industry, and even with that story. Do you find sometimes that the guys that you deal with, being that they're black and they're men, don't want to listen to you, even though it's clear that you know what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Is it an ego thing? Like, how do you take
it? You know, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And it's happened so much throughout my career that I don't even really pay it any mind.
Right.
There are times where I'll say to my husband, who is black and is male,
right.
you know, I'll say, you know, I'm having a hard time getting my point through, and then he'll go and say the exact same thing I said.
He'll get it.
He'll give you the right word to say.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
That's usually how
when I first started in the industry, and I don't think I've ever said this, like, I've said this a lot, but I don't think I've ever said it publicly.
Hope we get a gym here.
But when I first started in this industry, like, everybody thought that I was in this industry to fuck rappers, right?
Right.
So I had to go and gain like 50 pounds to get these motherfuckers to stop hitting on me. And it didn't even really like solve the whole issue. But
right.
I remember like in the early 90s, I would be like, drink milkshakes. Because I knew that if I got to like a certain girth, that it wouldn't even be no thing.
That's
it would
funny
slow
shit.
It down, because it was to the point where it was like crazy.
Hey,
like
amazing.
I just stopped going to the gym. I stopped working. I'm like,
fuck it.
I can't handle this. Like, it's
right.
too much. Like, yeah. goddamn.
Savages.
Right.
Savages in the rap.
Right? It's just crazy. And it's just this industry, like, everybody's fucking everybody in this industry. It's like a bad reality show, right?
Right, right.
So I'm like, man, there's got to be an easier way, because guys get real bent out of shape when you don't want to fuck them.
Yeah. Right.
Then you're a bitch or a whore.
Of course.
You know, now you have a whole other problem.
Yeah,
right?
And now you got, so you like, can't do business now.
Yeah. yeah. It's like, okay, I got to figure out a way.
Yeah, I got to do business.
This
still
is crazy.
You mentioned reality shows. Would you ever, if you were managing an artist right now, would you suggest
no.
something like that for
no.
them?
No.
Why not?
Is it not the death?
No.
It's over,
I think
right?
it's the death of them.
It's over.
I think a reality show is what you do when you're at the end of your career. Like, if you look at all of the rappers who've done reality shows, there's not one example of it benefiting their career.
Right.
You know, the best example I can, and that's to really like search through all of them, is Juicy J. And then it's not even, he's not even part of 3-6 Mafia anymore.
Yeah.
He's Juicy
and
J.
That was so long ago,
I think
too.
People don't really associate the two.
Nah,
but I watched Snoop do his show, and
yeah.
his, you know, his
right.
music career went woo.
Yeah, now he's like, Snoop Lion, like, and now he's
yeah, like, yeah, yeah. crazy.
Snoop, Uncle Snoop,
just
Snoop
crazy.
Lion.
I remember I was working with Young Buck when he first fell out with G Unit, and of course, like, the reality folks came at him,
I believe,
like crazy. And there was a point where money was an issue, because you
right.
know, he wasn't part of G Unit anymore. And he's like, you know, oh, maybe I'll do a reality show. And
said,
me and
no.
his manager were like banging
him. No.
Like, right. I was grabbing one leg. The manager's going, please don't do this. Please
right.
don't do this. Because it's just, there's no example of somebody that's a rapper
right.
who has gone on to build their career. I think sometimes familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think the fans say they want to see who you are behind
but
the scenes.
But once they see it, it's
but
like,
once you became,
you're
become
human.
Like that human,
right.
yes.
They don't.
Instead of that superstar larger than life,
nope.
I just don't think.
Nah, I agree.
I don't think it's a good idea.
I agree.
Have you ever seen, have you ever looked from a distance at a rapper's career and thought, your people are doing it wrong? If you were with me
all the time.
Okay.
Well, I never think if you were with me.
Okay, okay.
Because that, right. Yeah, but, like the whole world can't work with me. And that's
true.
Pretty arrogant too.
Right.
But yes, there's a lot of times like I think Bootsy could be a superstar. Yeah, I think he could be huge.
He don't like
Bootsy. Really?
I can't, okay. It's amazing.
I can't get into his music.
Right.
I understand his appeal, though.
Right.
I do get his appeal.
I had a hard time at first.
Right.
I had a hard time at first, but then...
I get his appeal.
Yeah. I love it.
What do you think they should be doing with him?
Well, I just think that he should be... You know, it's easy to be a backseat driver, isn't it?
Of course.
You know, or a Monday... What's it called?
Morning quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But I just think that when he came out and he was getting, you know, $125,000, $150,000 a show... I think that if they had just held him back just a hair.
Don't give it so
much. You know
much.
What I mean?
I
just
agree.
Don't oversaturate him. And put a little more time and effort into the music to get his music up to the level of what
his fame.
He was. Yeah,
I
what
agree.
His fame was. I think he would have been a superstar. And I got to tell you, you know, I ran into these guys very early in 2005. And when I saw their buzz... Like, I was knocking down their door to do a deal for them. You know, I was shopping their deal.
Yeah.
And I was more excited about Trill Entertainment than I was about Cash Money.
Mm, wow.
Because the buzz was bigger. It was larger and it was bigger. It was throughout the entire Southeast. And, you know, Bootsy was a superstar
the Midwest,
on the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's true.
And I love Bootsy. Shout out to Bootsy. I mean,
yes,
you know,
I love
he's...
Him. His album's supposed to drop by the end of this month.
It is. Yeah. And he's done an awesome... he's done an awesome, awesome... job, but there are a lot of artists where I look in and I say, damn, you know, I wish they could have done things a little bit different.
Right.
Not not necessarily better, but just different.
Right. Circle back to Buck, though, because we are from the same place. We're from Nashville, too.
I love Buck.
Yeah, we like him.
Yeah.
We have some questionable calls about his career, being that we are from the same place. We look at him a little bit more harshly
course,
than we
right.
other people.
Of course.
So how closely did you work with him? And I know recently you said he was one of the most, what?
The strongest.
He's the strongest.
Strongest dude you ever worked
strongest
with,
strongest human
talk
being.
Talk about that a little bit.
I will.
Yeah, talk
will.
About that.
Because people need it. Everybody is quick to judge Buck. You know, they heard him cry
right.
yeah.
to 50. They, you know, they saw him leave G-Unit and then come back. You know, they heard him say, I'll never go back, and then he
right.
went back. So I can see why people would be a little bit harsh to judge him. But the thing about Buck is, dude can take a beating
yeah.
like better than anybody I've ever seen. Like 50 crushed
yeah.
him,
yeah.
you know,
you
and then the IRS
the
stepped
phone,
in
crushed, yeah.
and kicked
on
in his door
right.
and took everything from him. I mean, everything from him.
That's wild.
Then
and then
the
on
jail.
Top of that, they found a gun and he caught a gun charge.
Yeah.
And went to prison.
Yeah.
As a rapper
yeah.
with fame.
Right. Who was just on. Yeah. That's
and he
crazy.
Went into Yazoo, which is like one yeah. of the toughest federal penitentiaries out there.
That's true. Yeah.
You know? And you know, there's many more things that I can enlighten you to that I'm not comfortable
sure.
saying.
Like,
right.
Like, we'll sit in a bar someday and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I'll tell you some more shit that he went
for
through.
For sure.
But, like, there were times where I was just like, dude, like, how are you bouncing back up?
Yeah.
Like,
new.
Yeah.
Like, how impressive is that?
Right, it was.
Like, he's one of the strongest guys that I've ever seen.
He got
and
the shit beat out of him.
He
but
did.
A lot
he
of
did.
I think my gripe being, like, from where he is well, a lot of things, stuff comes from him not doing a lot for Nashville. Or when he wasn't dealing with 50, he didn't do a lot on his own, people felt like.
Right.
Like, I know the mixtapes
right.
were there and stuff
he
like that.
He didn't, and he couldn't.
Right.
Right.
Okay, he couldn't.
Contractual.
Okay.
He may have had his hands tied.
Talk about how
thing.
He couldn't, though. Because I know
people
a lot of people, he was hot when he left.
He
and then people
hot.
Looked at it like, oh, he's just being lazy. But that
no,
really ain't the case.
He
couldn't
yeah.
do it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, the thing about rolling with 50 is... 50 was a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how big any of the G-Unit guys got, they were still in 50's shadow. And that's not a diss to anybody. It's
right.
just
what
the
it
reality
is.
Of the situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they were signed to the LeBron James of the music industry.
Right.
So everywhere they went, you know, 50 had to have a bigger security. Therefore, they had to have bigger security. Therefore, they had to pay more money out of the contract, right?
Mm.
You know, 50 owned a clothing company. So in order to be loyal to the company, they all had to wear G-Unit brand clothing. Reebok, they couldn't really wear LRG or Sean John. Not to say that they ever wanted to. Right, but the point is, like, if they were to do something like that, it would be seen
as disloyal. You're not in line.
It's not a contractual thing. It's a loyalty thing.
Yeah.
And 50's really big on loyalty, and Buck is a hugely loyal person.
Yeah.
So when he was rolling with G-Unit, he would do what G-Unit needed him to do instead of coming home. He didn't really come home until the shit hit the fan.
Right.
You know?
That's true. So that's what I think people got to understand, man. It's a lot of times it's deeper than it seems.
It's always deeper
on TV.
It's always deeper. Yes.
You can't tell people that. We get emotional. Yes. We're from the city. We're
absolutely
like, come back and put somebody on. Yeah,
I did as well.
Yeah.
You know, I got very, you know, because even working in the industry, until I really worked with him,
yeah,
I didn't see what kind of human he was. So I just assumed that he was doing what was best for him.
Right.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. He was doing what was best for the company. And for all of the members of G-Unit, because remember after 50, he was the biggest
star. He was.
Star,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, clearly.
You know, and he felt like he had the whole South on his back.
He did.
You
know?
At one point, when
50 fell out with Game, all of a sudden he had a war to fight that wasn't
it
his.
Wasn't his, yeah.
You know, it wasn't his battle.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he took a lot of hits
in order
to be part of that company.
That's true.
And I'm not trying to sell you on Young Buck.
No, trust me.
Yeah, we stand where we stand on him. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I'm not trying to, but
it's the reality of it.
You gotta look at things from all angles and just know that there's stuff that you don't know.
No.
So, going on behind.
What you listening to now? Like, what are you listening
to? I'm listening to a lot of Trouble because I'm working with him. Trouble from Duct Tape.
DT's
Trouble, yeah.
Yep, I'm listening to a lot of Trouble right now.
He just dropped a new song with Friday, I think.
He did. It's called Ready.
Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. And what's funny is he hasn't dropped it yet.
I seen it somewhere.
You saw it online because we put it there. We're waiting for the video to be finished, and then we're going to put the push behind it.
Right.
So we just kind of parked it there
because
we didn't want to just hold it back. And it's gotten something like 5,000 hits after the first day on its own. It's like, oh, fuck. I'll put it out there.
Yeah, how's it working with him, like, being the Alley Boys, the bigger star at TDE?
Do he get a lot of shadow? I don't think Alley's the bigger star anymore. Okay. I think he was.
Right.
Yeah. But I think his buzz has kind of softened
especially
a bit.
Especially since the online
situation. And I think Trouble's kind of, like, bubbling now. Like, he's coming up.
Okay.
You know, he's got a mixtape dropping. And this is not an advertisement. I'm just
letting you know.
That's cool. No.
He's got a mixtape dropping with Zaytoven. It's all Zaytoven beats.
Mm.
And I think that's going to really put him at that next level because Zaytoven's a great producer.
Yes, he is.
Clearly.
Trouble didn't financially have access to guys like Zaytoven.
Right.
Now those doors are open.
I get that. So now he's kind of, like, he was always bubbling here.
Right.
Now he's
up here.
Here. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
And he a better rapper than Alibu to me.
Yeah, I like Trouble a lot. Do you give input on the music?
I think they're both pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like both of them, but yeah.
Do you give input on the music at all when you hear it?
Okay. Absolutely not. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Just let them do them, and I'll show you how to put it out.
I'm a 52-year-old white woman. I am a fan, but, like, I am not Trouble's market. You know what I mean?
Right.
There are things that I'll say to an artist that I'm working with, like, please don't curse in the if it's a radio record.
Right, clearly. In the hook. Right, you know? Right.
Like, so, that doesn't help us. But I don't say, oh, you shouldn't be talking about that or you shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
No. As a 52-year-old white woman, like, do you think since artists nowadays are trying to be more well-rounded because that's how they're making money?
That is how they're making money.
Right. Has the music taken a hit because of that? Because you got T.I. who's worried about family hustle. You think it's changed?
I think the music has changed.
In good or bad way?
I think it's good because I think all change is good.
Okay. Right.
But we could argue that on a creative side, right?
Yeah, I think
it's becoming more lyrical. Because
I agree.
Think the mainstream fans want it to be more lyrical.
Yeah, they want to hear something they can't do.
Right. And it used to be that lane of street rappers, like the Jeezys, the Yo Gotti's, the Rick Ross's, like that used to be pop music, T.I., right?
Right.
In fact, trap music.
Right.
Coined that phrase, right?
Basically.
So trap music or street rap used to be where it was at. Like, that was the biggest lane. And now it's like the Kendrick Lamars, the J. Cole's, the Big Sean's. Like, it's coming back to lyrics.
Yeah,
agreed.
And I love lyrics. Now, I love trap music, too.
Right.
But I love lyrics. So I think all change is good. I think the reason you had artists like Nas saying hip-hop is dead was because there wasn't any change. You know, it was all like that Southern influence, which I love.
Right.
That's why I'm here in the South. But I think that the music wasn't varied enough.
Yeah.
And now it's more varied. It is. You've got Action Bronson.
Yes. Nope.
You've yes. got, yeah, like I was listening to him last night and I'm like, I kind of slept love on him.
Yeah, he's yes. crazy.
And
yeah.
I don't yes. want a paper cut on my tongue. Nah, you know? Nah. But, yeah, but he's dope. You know, like he's
And you know
he's
a chef, too.
And
he,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
and I love so, like, right. That's another friends. One of those well-rounded, yes. you know, what we were saying. Yes. So he had like a cooking show and everything.
Yep. And I love that. I love when an artist breaks out of their lane of having to do exactly this.
Right.
So I love seeing, you know, like the Bow Wows act. Mm. And I love
well,
seeing
I don't know about
T.I.'s.
He's a huge Bow Wow fan.
I often say, I would have rolled with the next example, but the Bow Wow one, I can't even ride with that one. Yeah. I'm not a Bow Wow fan at all. He used I'm to love either. Him, though. He yeah. has a signed poster.
Nah.
The thank you song, he used to listen to that full blast. We've been knowing each other for a while.
But in fairness, we're not his market either. I mean,
exactly.
At one point, he was.
Kids.
12-year-old girls.
Females.
At one point, absolutely. He was a 12-year-old girl, so he, I'm just joking.
Bow Wow just left Cash Money too. Breaking news.
Who
everybody.
Knew? See, yeah, he still just, follows. He still yeah. follows. We didn't know that. No one in this room knew that but him.
I'm embarrassed to admit that I knew.
Oh!
Hey, you know what you can explain to me though? Like,
what's
okay,
that?
Yesterday, right? There okay. was a feud between Game and Young Thug.
Yes.
Yeah.
And JoJo.
The big dog crip. Street
know.
Guy. Go ahead.
Who?
I don't know his last name.
I need to be educated on this.
Like, yeah, who is that?
And
is
I love gangsters. I don't know who he is.
I mean, he's not a famous gangster. He's more so of a street gangster. So, like,
okay.
I'm sure what happened in this scenario. And I don't know for sure.
Well, he probably has a relationship with
both. Exactly. Or he has a relationship with somebody. Doing? He has a relationship with somebody that knows both of those guys.
Gotcha.
You know, so he just made a phone call. Gotcha. And neither one of those guys are... I don't want to sound bad, high enough to say, no, I'm not going to do what you say.
Right. Right,
if somebody
right.
called him, they got to be
right.
like,
they're
okay,
be,
I see
gonna
what
show
you
deference.
Say. Right,
yeah,
so
absolutely.
It really was. Yeah, exactly. So I don't think there was anything.
Thank
anyway.
You, because I wondered, but, like, I saw that hit my feed this
yep.
morning, and
yeah.
I'm like,
but with that said,
JoJo?
Young Thug is, he's definitely about what they say.
he's not one
young,
to back
he's
down.
Young, is not, he's not old enough to know yet that he should not be probably doing some of the stuff that he's willing to do. I say that.
Right.
Yeah, right. I agree with that.
And I'll even add to that that he's willing to do whatever it takes
exactly.
to stand
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
Whether or not
clearly.
It's really who he is or not.
Right. So, exactly. Yeah.
I got a question. Now, I'm a big Jay-Z fan, right? And he just recently redid the whole, like, Tidal streaming situation. What are your thoughts on... Because his big thing was, this is owned by the artist. We're finally going to do... So. It looks as if he's doing something real noble. At the same time, charging $20 a month for this noble service right. that he's doing.
Did y'all hear that deep breath she took? I tried to tell him this 2 episodes ago, but go ahead, Wendy. Go ahead.
How do you, I see is that a front?
He's a great
Zoom
rapper.
In.
He's
Get
an
the
excellent
look on
rapper.
Her face. Get the look on her face.
Amazing yes. rapper.
Definitely. I hear a butt.
You have to understand. You have to
big
understand.
Butt.
Big butt. Yeah. When you acquire rights to play somebody's music to stream it, you're not contracting directly with the artist because they don't own their rights once they do a deal. It's the labels. So when you hear somebody say, I'm not making money from streaming, the money is going to the label, and then the label, remember the example we gave earlier, is giving you
that check,
and then you're losing the percentage
down.
To your manager,
yes.
you're losing the percentage to your lawyer, you know, it gets whittled down. Right. Well, I hear Jay saying that he's going to pay the artist, but he cannot pay the artist directly because most artists that are popular enough to warrant repeat listenings on a title
have
or
already
Spotify
signed
or any
away.
Of them has already signed away the rights.
Yep.
So I hear what he's saying, but as somebody who's knowledgeable about the business, there's a disconnect between what he's saying and what he can really do.
Right.
I also think that he and his friends really fucked up by holding a press conference, drinking champagne,
you parade
and acting
these people
like
out.
It's still that period in time where you've got private helicopters and private yachts and
yeah.
you know, like kids out of college right now are living in their parents' basement because they can't get a fucking job,
right.
and you're sitting there splashing champagne yeah. all over, you know, your friend. Like it was a huge disconnect between what's really going on the streets. It made him look really out of touch.
Yeah.
I agree.
And it kind of broke my heart because I don't see him as somebody who is out of touch. And I've been very critical of Jay-Z in the past for some of the things that he's done with street guys that he had relationships with in the early days that got cut off, you know, out of his life. So I've been extremely critical of him. And it breaks my heart to see him that out of touch with what's going on today in the world. Like, this is your market, and you basically just, you know, you're
not only your market, you're the leader of this market. Like, you're the go-to guy.
And they is known for being in touch and setting trends, too, though.
That's my thinking.
You just convinced him, though, because just like, as of this second, he was totally on the other side of this. And I said exactly what you said, like, 2-3 weeks ago. And I agree, because I think that, like, you parade these people out here and you say this thing, but a true, not even expert, because I know you're an expert in it, but a true hip-hop fan is going to look at it and say, wait. How y'all doing this? You got, Rihanna up here. You got all these people up here. You say you're going to pay them more money, but it seems like you're just lying to me and trying to get more money than Spotify is taking. That's basically what it come off as.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And why are you investing in a company when there's already great leaders in that company?
Yeah, like Spotify, Beats is there. iTunes is there.
When you buy a phone, isn't Pandora
already on
his there?
Phone.
Right, exactly. It's in the car.
So, why are you also ran?
Right.
You know, you're supposed to be a trendsetter.
Exactly.
Why,
that was my thing with it too.
Why aren't you starting a company? And there's so many cool new tech companies.
Right.
You know, like, when I left my house today, I locked my door for my iPhone.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Jump
I set
on
my
that.
Whistle alarm for my iPhone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I can turn lights and off for my iPhone. Like, like, why aren't you running that kind of a company?
True.
Why does it have to be in the music industry and then also ran?
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
What do you think about, have you been paying attention? Another hot button subject that we get a lot is Dame Dash. And we know the relationship, right? The relationship with him and Jay apparently has gone two opposite directions. Right. And from my feeling, it looks like Dame probably feels a certain type of way about Jay, but doesn't want to say it. I know you say he distanced himself from a lot of street guys early on. Do you feel like he kind of did them wrong? Should there be a bigger loyalty factor in situations like that, or is it a tough call?
It's a tough call because we don't really know
what happened
behind closed doors, you know. So there may be stuff that we don't see. And I'm very aware of that.
Yeah,
But yeah, that's one of the things I've been really critical. And not just Dame, like Biggs. Like, Biggs is a street dude who risked his life on a daily basis to help Jay-Z succeed.
Yeah.
You know, and got shit on.
Yeah.
You know, not shit on.
Yeah, he's sitting in jail
out,
now.
You know, they bought him out. I heard that too.
Yeah.
They bought him out, so it's not like he just, like, said, fuck you.
Right. You got to check.
But still, like, when you built that company, I'm sure at some point, motherfuckers in that room said, we're down for life.
Right,
we're here
of course.
For life. I'm sure it wasn't like, yeah, we're down for 10 years. You know what I mean? I'm sure it wasn't that. So I come from a different era where loyalty is everything, and I'm a very loyal person. So it's very easy for me to look at somebody else and judge them
for
their disloyalty. But I also have to stop myself because I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. You know, I'm not Dame's confidant. I'm not Jay's confidant. I'm not Big's confidant. I don't really know what happened.
Right.
But I do know that if he were my artist, I would have handled that a hell of a lot different because it made him look like just such
scumbag.
A piece of shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would have handled that way different.
Is there a stigma in the industry about Dame? Like, if you had an artist, would you recommend he work with him? Like, currency and him fell out about some money,
yeah.
I believe. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I
like
Dame a good businessman.
Yeah, I think so, too. Everybody says he's arrogant. I don't see it.
I just see him trying to get shit done.
I don't see it. I just see him as, like, the hardest
worker.
He's arrogant.
Like, he's just trying to get shit done.
He's not to me. So
I don't see that either.
I don't see it.
I don't see it either.
You know,
he just looks difficult.
I remember
but you
got
to be to a certain extent.
In the very early days,
right.
And Jazzo had called me and said he hadn't gotten paid from the song that he helped write with Foxy Brown on No Ninja, right? And I called Dame and I said, you know, Jazz says he hasn't gotten paid.
I bet that was an interesting conversation.
Yeah. And he's like, he hasn't? Are you sure? There was no, like, why the fuck you calling me?
Right.
There was no attitude.
Gotcha.
He was like, Wendy, let me look into this and I'll call you back. And there was part of me when I hung up that was like, I'll never hear from him again.
Right.
He called me back a couple hours later and he's like, we're rectifying it.
Mm.
You know, it was an oversight. We weren't on some bullshit.
Right.
It was really an oversight and we're working on it. I'm like, okay, cool.
I would expect
because he didn't have to do that,
yeah.
You know?
I would expect a story like that about Dane.
Yeah.
Just how he carries himself.
He seems like a stand-up guy. I've never done business with him.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a shark.
Right.
He may be.
I can see that.
I see that he may be.
Yeah.
You know, would I recommend an artist work with him? Yeah, if they had the right team behind him. Because if you're going to benefit from Dame, you've got to be at this level.
I was going to say, it's going to be a long period without money.
Yeah, you can't be like down here not knowing what you're doing. Like, you're on the court with Kobe Bryant.
Right.
You know,
like, even with the currency situation.
You've got to have the best people.
Yep. In the currency situation, in my opinion, he would be better off dealing with Dame now.
As
than he would have been
back then.
You know,
absolutely.
Like, he could definitely benefit from some Dame Dash stuff. Exactly.
Where everybody can benefit from that relationship.
That, but, yeah.
You know, one of the things that artists don't get that drives me a little nuts is they think, I just need to be put on. And it's not that.
What is it? What
is
being put
on? Yeah, well, it's not that.
Right.
Nobody can put you on. Like, if I could have put artists on after I did Eminem's deal, after I did the Cash Money deal, after I did Master P's deal, I would have 50 artists. I'd own an island by now.
Yeah,
right?
Put them on.
It doesn't work that way. Like, you've got to really blow yourself up and be at a point of leverage where somebody like me or somebody like you can really benefit them.
Right.
You know,
right.
Other than that, you're signed to that person.
Yeah.
And they're going to take 100% of the money until you get to a level where you're making enough money for everybody to eat.
I know something that happened in between us speaking last time was Trinidad James got dropped from his deal. And I remember when that happened, you tweeted out that you kind of saw that. You hate to say I told you so, but you saw it coming. What were the red flags when you saw that coming?
The fact that he only had one hot record and there was a bidding war. And I saw it with Party Like a Rockstar, what were those guys called?
Shop Boys.
Right. Yeah. I've seen that so many times in my career where
Bobby Shmurda just did.
If a label, thank you, that's a great example. Yeah. Like, if a label sees you have a song and they want the rights to it, they think you just have one song.
Yeah.
So if he could have just held back a little bit and put out a second, like, an, you know,
a follow-up.
Or at least built himself a little bit more before signing, he would have had a career instead of just being a one-hit wonder.
Right.
But he didn't understand the industry. He was signed to a relatively new label that didn't have a lot of success in the industry. This was like their first time at bat,
right?
So they didn't really know.
Yeah,
you know,
it's hard, man. Especially,
it's heartbreaking.
He said, "I know." He said he hadn't been. He made a really big mistake by kind of saying that he had just started rapping. That rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Absolutely, it did.
And then he did his remix, and he didn't rap on the remix. And I felt like that was another red flag. Like, wait a minute, like, who doesn't rap on their own remix?
Yeah.
This dude must be whack. You know what I mean?
You know what else he did that caught my eye? Like, the character that he played in his video and his song. When you spoke with him, he was intelligent as fuck.
Right. But you couldn't tell.
So the image of the artist that was doing the interviews didn't seem It didn't match to that character. And it was like, wait, what?
Right.
And in hip hop, we kind of have this authenticity thing.
Which speaks to him having more material, like you said. Right. Had he been able to follow that characterization up with something real, we'd have been like, oh, okay, I get it.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I feel the same way about Blythe.
You know, instead of...
I don't feel the same way about
Blythe. You know, I have to tell you, when I said that, his name was in my head a little bit. Yes.
Why do y'all thinking about Blythe?
Yes. Because he's so incredibly intelligent.
He is.
And the character that he plays, but at least all of his music is
It's consistent.
You know what I mean? His music is consistent.
True.
We have to give him that.
True.
But I'm kind of with you on that. Like your character in interviews is different
totally
than who you are
different.
As a rapper. And I think we're in a time in music history where authenticity matters.
It's huge.
Because
we've had so many
J. Cole fake rappers rammed down our throats for so long, and so many guys who pretended to be things that they're not, that we're all kind of looking at everybody like with an eyebrow raised.
Yeah,
that's true. It's kind of a letdown.
So how close were you tied in with the Big thing? Because I know I heard on Combat Jack, shout out to him,
I was close to Tupac, not Biggie.
Right. Oh, I heard Bumpy Knuckles on there talking. He referenced you a couple of times.
Yeah,
what was that relationship?
We were very close. He was actually on my board.
Uh-huh.
He's somebody that I reached out to after the shooting at Quad.
Right.
Because I knew he was in New York without any backing from anybody. So I had a relationship with the Fruit of Islam at the time. So I called the Fruit and asked them to go and protect him because he had no protection.
Hmm.
Yeah. Wow. And I thought I had done it anonymously, but somebody told Pac, well, Wendy Dayson. So then he wrote me a letter from Rikers and said, you know, I really appreciate it. You know, how cool that somebody respected my music so much that they, you know, sent this kind of love. And I'm like, nah, dude, it's not about music. I have to kind of think you're an asshole.
Right.
You know, let me just be real and write you back and tell you, dude, it wasn't about your music. I just recognized that you didn't have anybody around you to protect you, and I wanted to make sure that you weren't hurt.
Yeah,
you know, by the way, I don't listen to your music. I think you can't choose a good beat to save your fucking life. And you're loud and obnoxious, and you bring on everything that comes to you. And I said all this to him.
Right.
And I'm like, man, if he were out, he'd come and punch me in my throat. You know?
That's funny.
But he wrote me back, and he's like, wow, you're really real. I don't meet many people like you.
Right.
You're right. I do bring a lot of this on myself, and I am loud. There's so many times where... You know, in New York, there's the VIP line for people that work in the music industry and stars to stand in, you know, and then there's the regular people. And there's so many times where I'd be in the VIP line and he'd be cutting up and acting a fool and so loud that I would get out of that line and go stand in the dick line to get away from him. Yeah, right. Because it was just like, dude, you're gonna set something off here.
Right, and I don't want to be around.
I don't want to be around that.
Right.
You know, and I told him that, too.
Right.
Like, you know, I remember being at the Palladium and all the, you know, and you're just loud and you're just, you attract this obnoxiousness.
Yes.
And he's like, you know, that's something I'm working on.
Yeah. Do you think that came from, I know a lot of people said that all that happened after Juice. Like when he did the movie role and he thought he was kind of Bishop, he took that role a little too seriously.
That could be, but I saw him before.
Oh, okay.
Being loud and, you know, he just liked to party and have a good time, and he was loud. He was charismatic in the center of attention.
Yeah. Right.
And he realized at a young age that he could say things and people would do it.
Mm.
You know?
I think
he was a leader.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I think his legacy is losing just a little bit of luster. I know we've got friends back home that
I
don't agree with that.
Think about it. I don't agree with his legacy losing.
What do you mean? Tell me what you mean.
Because I think a lot of people, like the stuff he came out about Big and Faith, I think people are learning that wasn't true. You know, like the whole diss song was fabricated, and that maybe Pac was putting on a persona that didn't, again, match how he really was in real life. I think that down the years, some things have exposed him just a little bit to where people start to feel that way. Like, we got friends, like, shout out O. We talk to him all the time about it, that, man, he was like, man, Pac wasn't what everybody thought he was. And somebody tells that story all the time. I can't think of who it was. But they talk about Pac like, dude, he wasn't what y'all thought he was. He was just... It was a jerk.
I can't speak for them, but the Tupac that I know was exactly who I saw in the media.
Okay.
And exactly who I saw in songs. So, did he fuck Faith? I don't know.
Right.
You know, my gut tells me that he did, because that was very much his way.
Yeah.
Like, if he got mad at somebody, he would go fuck the girl.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, so I don't know that he did.
I don't know
that he didn't.
That's fine.
But the one thing that I can say about what I knew about him was he was very authentic in both a good way and a bad way.
Right.
Okay.
You know,
to a fault.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, he was that guy that would start shit with off-duty cops. He was that guy that, if he had a problem with a video director, would beat the fuck out of
him.
You know? And in life, that's not how you handle adversity.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be able to work with people. You got, especially when this is your business.
Yeah.
You got to make good decisions. And the last thing I'll say about Pac, because I don't really want to dwell on this,
sure,
but I knew the bigger plan. Like, I knew where Euthanasia was going. I knew what his goal was. And his goal was, because he had brought so much dissension between the East and the West, his goal was to bring everybody back together. into that full. And there's an album out there somewhere that for some reason wasn't bootlegged where he's got a bunch of East Coast guys and West Coast guys rapping together.
Oh, words.
And see? I don't know where that is.
I'm sure it's on a hard drive somewhere. Somebody got this shit.
But that was his goal.
Just speaking from the other perspective, I don't think that his legacy's falling off, and the reason being so is what you said. That example that you just gave is not far-fetched to believe that, even the way that Pac went out.
And
even
too many
as
people that know him. There's too many
people
like me out
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Even as adamant as he was about the Faith situation or about the whole East-West thing, everybody realizes at a certain point that Pac's music was bigger than that.
Yeah.
Even his legacy was bigger than that. So I don't think any of that stuff ever affects his legacy.
Aunt Mama's going to be on the radio 1,000
times.
Right.
Like today Dear Mama's going to play forever. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying? And people will never bring up the Faith or the East West. Like, my mom listened to Pac, and she don't know anything about any of that. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, she knows who Tupac is, or a chick may know the book arose from a concrete and right. not know anything about the backstory of those stuff. So true. I don't think his legacy is going to be affected. Right. As a matter of fact, I think it'll grow stronger as kids and other people start getting into his music and as more people start to accept it as poetry or a different type of art form other than rap.
Agreed. Right. Real quick, before we get ahead of it, I'm just curious, what's a day in the life of Wendy Day like now?
Please all tell different. Us. Yeah, every day is different.
Every day
I know you're moving around a lot.
I am moving around a lot, and I'm getting older, so it's harder to move around a lot, you know?
Yeah.
I'm getting tired, guys. I'm on the phone an awful lot, as you probably
can imagine. When I walked outside, it's on the phone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm on my iPad answering email constantly because I can't handle all the phone calls that I get. So I encourage people to email me instead of calling me because I can be on the phone, as you saw when you came outside. I can be on the phone and answering an email and be able to do both. And, you know, I'm lucky like that. I'm very thankful because there's a lot of people that can't do that.
Right.
And there's a lot of things I can't do, but that's not one of them. Thankful. But I spend an awful lot of time on my iPad answering email. The writing process is very weird, and I don't know if you guys are writers, but you can't just sit down at a computer and start writing.
Right.
It doesn't work like that.
I wish it did.
It's gotta, Like, you gotta be in a mood, in the right, zone. Yeah, I'm a writer. I know
right
what you mean.
Zone for the words to flow, and I try to write when I'm in the zone, because if you read my first book, you know that it's like sitting next to me on a sofa and it's like I'm talking to you and I don't want to lose that.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And sometimes when you're telling somebody how to do something, it can be really preachy. And it can be a little negative. It can be like, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that.
But do this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've got to be in a certain frame of mind where I tell people what to do instead of what not to do, but still make my point without being negative,
that
you know,
sense.
And not shitting on anybody's dreams.
So before we let you out of here, give them a preview, because I want to know, and I got a lot of people that I know that listen to this show. They're artists. So artists, what, one in every three of us are rappers now. So
clearly.
You're doing a new book about how rappers make money. So how do new artists go about tackling this game?
I'm so glad you asked
that. Yes, yes. Like, give them a little preview. Like,
I'm going to. Because it's such an important thing, right?
I'm trying to get good
at
this.
And I can only tell you how I do it. Bear in mind, there's a lot of paths to success. It's not like mine is right and everybody else's is wrong. That's not it at all. But what I've done that has worked for 22 years and still works today is wherever you are based, you want to take a map. And you want to draw a 5-hour driving radius around that area. So if you're from Nashville, for example, you're going to draw a 5-hour circle, and that's going to become your target market. And you're going to spend all of your time in that market. You're not going to worry about anything outside that market. So if somebody calls you from New York and says, come do a show, you're going to turn it down because it's a waste of your limited funds. You want to be within your target market, and you want to be out there. It's like being a politician. You want to be out there. Touching people, shaking hands, kissing babies, taking pictures with fat girls, putting them up on your social media. But you want to engage with people today. You don't want to just, like, you know, hand out 10,000 CDs and then go
watch
the latest episode of Love and Hip Hop. Because they're not gonna.
Right.
Because they've gotten too much music. It's too oversaturated. And there's too much bad music out there.
That's what kills
you. So you've got to really, work it. You've got to grind like you've never grinded before.
No.
Is that a word, grinded?
Yeah.
But you've got to work it like you've never worked it before, right? And you've got to make sure that you can afford to be in that area. Like, if you're going to do a 5-hour driving radius, you're going to be able to you're going to have to be able to have posters, flyers, CDs. You're going to have your website up. You're going to have all your social media. You need some sort of a portable device like a smartphone or an iPad so that you can constantly be updating your social media, right? You're constantly updating your website. You still want to have CDs for the people that still listen to music, like in the car.
Some out there.
Absolutely, there are. And you want to have enough music on that CD to show them that you're more than just one hot record, but you want to work one hot record, right? You want to have a single because you want to tell DJs, play this song. You want to have something to build and grow your career from, and that's whatever single you're working. You want to be able to put out a song and a video every week. I do it alternating, right?
Nice.
I'll do a song 1 week, and then the video comes the following week. Then a song comes the next week, song number two.
New material.
Video number two.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Third week. I'm sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th week. Song number 3, video number 3.
Nice.
So that every week somebody's getting some sort of
visual or audio from
or
you.
Audio from you so that you're consistent. You got to do that for months.
Yeah.
So you've got to have the money to shoot videos. You've got to have the money to record. The sound of the music has to be, you know, the equivalent of Jay-Z or Kanye, right? It's got to be mixed and mastered. So you've got to have some money to be able to be in this industry. It's not a free industry.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and you know, I sit back and at home and I watch these kids who just spam me links on Twitter and I think, dude,
listen to my link.
Like, is this working for you?
Right.
Like, really?
Like after I listen to it, then
really?
What? Like, then what?
Okay, I've
like,
heard what, it.
Yeah. I listen. Yeah, it's dope. It's banging. Okay, and?
I go on YouTube, you have nothing
I'll
else.
Even save it to my phone. You, right. You happy? Like, exactly. I got the link saved.
Like, it's
cool.
Great. Or it's, right. Or it's garbage. Now what? Yeah. Right. Now what are you going to
exactly.
do? Exactly. You know? So it's like you've got to reach millions of people with your music. You know, the artists that I work with, we still use radio because a lot of them are more mainstream oriented. Right. You know, not Trouble, he's probably not the best example of mainstream artists that I work with, but you know, the more mainstream artists, we still use radio because you can spin for a 12-week or a 16-week cycle and reach millions of people with your music. And if the song is hot, it's gonna have some impact. Right. You know,
it's gonna wave up. Cool. When can the people expect the book? Because I think they need
good
this.
Question. I'm shooting for the fall.
Okay.
And I think that's realistic. You know, okay. I dropped the last one in September. I'm trying for September of this year.
Okay.
I hope I make it. It's just it's growing in leaps and bounds.
We won't hold it against you.
And I don't want to break it into two.
If it doesn't go to September, we won't hold it against you.
I love you for that.
No, we definitely won't.
How can the people keep up with you? Websites?
The best way to keep up with me is through my Twitter and Instagram, actually. I haven't been on Twitter as much as I should lately because I've been really busy.
Yeah.
But it's at Rap Coalition. The best way to reach me is email thisiswendyday@gmail.com. Don't call me. I won't call you back and your feelings will be hurt. So don't think that you've got, you know, the hottest album and I have to hear it and you want to call me and play it for me because, you know, I'm busy. I'm not going to call you back. But if you email me and you start a dialogue, you know, at least I'll send you to my blog, which is industryreport.com.
Okay.
That's got a ton of free articles about how to
on
there. So at least until the book comes out, you can have that.
Man, we could have sat here and talked to you for hours.
I know, right? There's so much that we haven't talked about yet.
I think we're going to have to put a third episode.
We
got to go on.
Let's
book
not wait
it.
2 years, though.
Right. Of course not.
We got to do this, because you're based out of Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to do this more often. We need to just drop gems. Yeah, man, you know what I'm saying?
Nice. But we do appreciate it.
We definitely
as
do.
As always.
This is the On Deck TV podcast. Of course, anytime you want to stop through, just call us and come through. We got it, you know. I am Spike Lou.
Hey, man, it's Animal Brown. We got a music break coming up, a whole lot of show. We got more of the show left. Don't go nowhere, man. On Deck TV podcast.
Chill.
First, let me hop out the motherfucking Porsche. I don't want it if that ass don't sit like a horse. I be ballin' on these niggas, got me feeling like sports. Dash got so much wood, I could build me a fort. Ain't too many things I ain't done yet. King of this shit, crowned by the toilet. I'm just barely getting started, you already upset. Got a tiger as a pet, I just took him to the vet. Homie, I been making hits, I'm the rap Derek G. To let your bitch ride on me like she was on the feeder. If the pussy ain't good, then I probably won't feed her. Little homie, you can keep her, cause I really don't need her. I ain't worried about feet, so homeboy, use a pee on toilet seat. Ass nigga, man, I swear you gettin' peed on. Man, my jury's so cold, I walk around with the heat on. My alarm clock set, just in case they wanna sleep on it. I'm a full-time player, hoppin' out an alligator, sippin' lean annihilator. Homie, I'll annihilate you. If you think you wanna battle, you gon' have to pay some paper. I just hit her and I quit her, I would never ever date her. It's the same how I'm barely getting love in the
show, boy, T-Wayne. Nasty, you be banging that in the whip.
Why in the hell did we just play that?
It's supposed to be hot, man. I heard that's the hot shit, man. We've been getting a lot of flack out in these streets about our music the last couple of weeks, and it's your fault.
Nah, I've been playing none but heat.
No, I've had a lot of complaints.
Shit.
Nigga said you was playing that they bullshit.
Gonna be, hey, whoever it is, they can't go to the club. Nigga they can't go. They can't listen to the radio.
I'm just telling you,
because
nigga
I'm
said
playing the
playing
shit that's
bullshit,
gonna be fire.
Dog. Nigga, that's Chris plays the music. I ain't
so, nah, what's the deal with this? This the next shit? Supposedly?
Yeah, it's supposed to be the next shit, man. Shazam got some new shit going on with their app. Download that Shazam app if you're a music head. They are supposed to be able to track the next hit on the charts 33 days in advance. So you're going to know what the hottest shit is for. It's the hottest shit. for reaching radio and everything. So check out the Shazam app. Y'all got to pay us for that too, Shazam. We'll be getting in touch with y'all tomorrow.
So this T-Wayne is on that, and they're saying that this is the next shit.
Yes.
Man, that's some shit. Yes. I ain't gonna lie, my gal was singing this earlier, and it's already on my nerves because of some slaw.
You
so maybe
singing,
it is the next
gonna
hit.
Be singing it tomorrow.
I'm not gonna be singing it.
I want to ask you something.
All right.
Let's talk about, before we close out,
what's that?
The 4 or 5 list. Because we talked about Jay last week, right?
Jay-Z,
yeah. And you talked about what he made and whatnot. So the 4 or 5 list came out, and Diddy's at 735.
Mm.
Dre is at 700.
Mm.
Does that make sense to you?
I mean, I'm going to take Forbes' word for it.
No, we thought that Dre signed a $3 billion deal with Apple.
He don't get all that shit.
He gets 25% of it.
Okay.
And after taxes, he took home $500 million from that.
Okay.
That put him at $700 million. $35 million behind Diddy.
Mm.
Dre recently said that he would be the number one, or excuse me, not the number one, but the first hip-hop billionaire. Is he going to beat Diddy even though he's $35 million behind?
I don't how, if that $3 billion deal didn't put him at a bill ticket, there's no other deal that's going to come along that's going to sniff
the
that.
The NWA movie ain't going to do it.
Yeah, that ain't going to cut it. NWA DVD sales ain't going to cut it when they come out on DVD.
You ain't making $300 million off NWA?
No, bruh.
I'm surprised Diddy at 735. Like, I ain't like, Diddy a fucking monster.
What is Diddy selling right now? Like a cologne or some shit?
Revolt.
Revolt ain't doing it. Revolt ain't even
Revolt
on
ain't
like,
putting him at 735?
No.
Because I don't know what it is. What's putting Diddy at 735 then? Because I don't understand.
I mean, Revolt.
I thought it was Revolt.
Look, Revolt is new, is like still relatively new, so I'm sure they're still in the red.
How is Diddy at 735, dude?
Because technically, he could sell that for something right now, obviously. That's what it is. It's his net worth.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Other than that, though, he's not selling no records. I know. But it's Diddy, though, man. Like, dude got his hands in everything. Yeah. He still got the water. He still
got
the
water?
Fucking. Yeah, he got that shit with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, yeah.
That Aqua Hydrate, I think. And it's Diddy, man. Like, he gonna figure out a way to sell something. Ciroc still booming.
Net worth is 735.
Yeah, he's shaking it with that.
735. If I'm Hov, I gotta hit him up and be like, man, I can salute my nigga.
Man, Hov gonna hawk both of them niggas.
No.
See you, boy.
Hov ain't at 735. That's he ain't nowhere near 735.
Hey, man, you see how quickly things can change?
Man, bro, if Beyonce X'd out the equation.
I don't believe that.
Exactly.
And he got the baddest bitch in the game next to him on top of
but
that. He winning.
That adds to his thing. Like,
obviously.
Ain't nothing adding to Diddy 735, but Diddy.
Cassie. How much she got?
Man, she's subtracting from that 735. He ain't have Cassie. He'll be a billionaire by now. Nigga.
You got to pay that maintenance fee.
Diddy, if I was Diddy, I'd marry Oprah.
Nah,
let's
ain't no
do
way.
It. Let's go on and marry Oprah.
Nope.
Let's get this big black conglomerate started, dude.
Nope.
Diddy and Oprah?
Nope.
Man, let's rock. That's still fuck
Stedman ain't going, nigga.
Stedman out of the like booty hell, nigga. Nobody checking for Stedman. Homo.
Can I get this quote of the week out of here?
Let's get it.
Yo, boy, DJ Khaled.
I don't know who that is.
Your favorite DJ.
You know who that is, dude.
He was on the Breakfast Club, and they asked him a question that I know we've talked about ad nauseum.
What?
In regards to how does he have all of these big songs with all these big name artists, and he doesn't put his artists on these songs?
Because they slow.
No, that's not what he said.
That's my quote.
Let's hear his answer and see if he validated it.
Let's go.
Nah, but Khaled, like, think about it. I'm one of your artists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your first single has Wayne, Drake, and Chris Brown.
Right.
I want in.
Of course. And if you don't, you'd be crazy.
Now, how do you say no?
It ain't saying no. It's called, it is what it is. It ain't no disrespect. Like, if you take it in a disrespectful way, that means you have insecurity of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't take it as disrespect if somebody say, if Ross don't put me on his album.
Right.
Even though I'm a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't take that as a disrespect. Like,
or if one of your artists does something with another DJ, you're not going to be mad.
Oh,
like,
no. I promote for them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my artists, That's one thing. And if you've been with me from day one, I'd be like, make sure you do all the DJ's records. Make sure you do every drop. I think all my artists, you know what I'm saying, a lot of them been on records and on the album, but I think, you know, when it comes to a Khaled album, I think it's important not only to feature some of my artists on the album, because they'll always be on the album, but I feel like for them to be even bigger is for them to do what I did and create anthems, and I'll be there to help create the anthems with them, or they might find the anthem and create it, and I'll be there to help support it. But I think it's important for everybody to be who they are. Mm-hmm. I think that's how a successful empire should be, and I think you'll respect the artists more, too.
So my question to you, does Khaled have a point?
No.
Why not? He should be putting Votto on all the big records? Is that what you're saying?
No.
He should put Ace Hood on all the big records.
No.
Okay.
I'm saying this. If I signed to DJ Khaled, I signed up for access to these hits. If you're telling me I signed to you to grind it out and to make, what, banging mixtapes?
Right.
Is that what I'm supposed to do?
You got to build your
fan base. If I'm Votto, or if I'm Ace Hood, is that what you're telling me to do? You don't want to throw me on these big hits because it is what it is? I don't understand that. Like, I need something legible, dude. Tell me something that makes sense, because it is what it is don't make sense to me if I'm a nigga trying to eat off his rap shit. And I'm liable to spring on you. If I'm Ace Hood, or if I'm Votto, and a nigga come tell me like Cali, say, oh, I got this new song, and Ross on there, and Wayne on there, and Drake on
there. Chris Brown on there.
I ain't got no room for you, even though you my artist. I might spring on him. I might just hit Khaled in his jaw.
So if you're Votto,
then we got the rest later.
You think he needs to be on that song right there? Do you honestly think?
Yes.
No,
if I'm your artist,
no, you don't.
If I'm your artist, what am I doing here? What am I doing here as Votto?
You'll be featured on the project.
No,
on the whole album.
No. I didn't leave Cam'ron to get featured on the project, dude.
Take that.
Listen, I want you to get me in the room with Drake and all of these niggas on this song. I want to spit my hottest 16. I need that feature. If you can't do that for me, there's no need for me to be signed with We Are The Best or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yes.
That's it.
And that's We Are The Best.
I would have told him that. And if he had anything else to say after that, I would have listened and then I would have hit him in his jaw.
That's We Are The Best minus Cash Money now. He's not on Cash Money no more.
Everybody leaving Cash Money, man.
Yeah. We talked about when Wendy Day, Bow Wow gone.
Your boy left. Bow Wow. You still got that CD? You got the signed poster in your room.
I have none of that shit, even though Bow Wow did have some hits.
You love, thank you.
But I will say this, though. Mm-hmm. Khaled did say, he had a point at the end when he said, it'll make you respect them. Like, if I took my artists and just threw them on all the big records and just slid them in between, like, A-list rap stars. Mm-hmm. Y'all wouldn't respect that nigga unless that. He was just duper cold.
I get that. But if I'm signed to DJ Khaled, what else are you bringing to the table? Like, what else do I need you for?
Connections.
What? You ain't giving me the connections. These niggas is doing songs, making number one hits, and I'm your artist, and I can't get no hook? I can't get none? Come on, bro.
Yeah.
You fucking me.
So you wouldn't sign to We The Best is what you're saying?
Fuck no. Like Wendy said, man, it's best to go independent nowadays.
Dude. I agree.
I ain't signing nobody.
New music out soon. Young Buck got a new mixtape. You know he doing his whole 10 The Key series.
Yep.
So 10 Bullets, that's out May 20th. French Montana's out right now, Casino Life 2.
Save your ears. Pusha T got a new one out. It's a project. I think it's old verses, though, so check that out, though.
Yeah, it's just super slick old.
Ripping it. He literally ripping it, though.
He's still ripping it, most definitely. Be on the lookout, though. Pimp C book is in stores July 7th.
That. I'm there day one.
It's called Sweet James, Pimp C's Trill Life Story.
Shout out Julia Beverly from Ozone Magazine. She wrote that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm fucking with that, too. I'll be done with that Scarface book by then, clearly. So I'll be right on point to fall right in line with that Pimp C.
And you know what? The Entourage movie coming up on us.
It sure the fuck is,
I
and I'm
not
there.
No, the first weekend in June, Entourage was up on us.
In June? Are you sure about that?
Yes, nigga, June 3rd.
They not pumping. Well, it's not yet.
Nigga, they should have been pumping it a month ago.
They need to be doing it in these playoffs while they bullshit.
Right. I'm hot about that, but check out the Entourage move. I will be in there like booty hair.
What you got on deck for this weekend?
Chillaxing, man. We got some moves to make, some plans to sit and congregate on, so you know we're gonna do that.
Fuck that! I got my subscription to Tidal right now, my free subscription. I like it. I'm fucking with it.
You gonna pay that $25?
Did you know they have a $10 plan that nobody talks about for some reason? That's pretty interesting. Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
There's a reason.
Nobody talks about the $10 plan, which there's is the reason. Same as the $20 plan. It's just the $20 plan has the high definition sound.
What's the high definition sound?
I don't know. It's just a different format than what you're used to hearing. And
shit.
They have, of course, a 30-day trial, just like everybody else. And they also have a buy one, get 3 months free.
Oh, my God, so dog. Quit you trying to fucking sell this title shit. Is Jay-Z paying you that I don't know about?
Listen,
is Jay-Z giving you a check that I don't know about? Because I need in on this.
You can pay for these next 4 months on Spotify, and I'm going to pay one ticket. I am. For these next 4 months.
I have more music than you on Spotify. I already got my library figured out. I ain't got to go back and save new songs. I'm good.
And
I'm good spending my $11.99.
I'm about to watch this Jay-Z concert this weekend.
Guess what? It's going to be streamed.
The B-side.
It's going to be streamed the same night, and I can watch it just like you without a title subscription.
Nah, actually.
Shout out title people, though. Shout out y'all. Shout out y'all. Y'all holding it down in hip-hop.
I wish I was in New York this weekend. I go to that show. I murk a nigga to go to that B-side show. I ain't gonna lie.
Jay gonna kill it.
See shit he ain't never performed before? Like, no singles and none of that bullshit? And I'm in the building, dude. I'm hot.
Yeah, I do need that. When it come on?
Saturday and Sunday. You got two shows.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that. I'm gonna get that without the title subscription.
That's hating.
Watch.
Man, y'all fuck with us every Wednesday. We does this. Don't forget YouTube.com/OnDeckTV.
Yeah, man, go check out videos out, man. We got some new stuff for y'all pretty soon. Also, go to the page, check out the network on DeckTVNetwork.com. I am Spike Lou. We appreciate you. Seek power, information, and knowledge everywhere.
Holla at your boy, man, Animal Brown, and we out.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.